Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Fairbanks, Alaska, and we're trying to reach our guest, Mr. Ralph Roberts. We're going to find out about how to protect ourselves from mortgage fraud, and this is absolutely phenomenal material. I have never, ever come across so much information about protecting us, ourselves, from being used by con artists when it comes to investments, when it comes to credit reporting, when it comes to a lot of different things. So anyway, we are going to be expecting a phone call, so there may be a point during the time where I am made aware of a phone ringing, so I may have to excuse myself for just a moment. When that happens, then just know we are going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with our guest. Okay, I want to start off with a wonderful poem by Daniela Clift. And here we are in the autumn of the year, of course, up here in Fairbanks, Alaska, where I'm broadcasting from. It's a bit chilly. It's in the 20s and, you know, the low 30s. It's freezing temperatures up here. But for the rest of you, no matter where you are in the country, this will really apply. For every leaf, a giggle. For every giggle, a way. To make a virtual playground of a golden autumn day. I just love autumn. One of my fondest memories was visiting my grandparents when I was just a little girl. And going out into the backyard, I was told I had to rake up a bunch of leaves, and it was during the fall of the year. And my grandparents had a brick wall, and there was a corner section of that brick wall. And I can remember just raking in all those leaves and piling them high. And of course, I was little, so it didn't take long to get the leaves really, really deep relative to the height that I was at that young age. And then I can remember climbing up on the fence, on this brick fence, and just jumping into all of those leaves. And of course, it went every which way, and then I'd have to rake them up all over again. But that's the way kids are. You know, you use your imagination, and you have a wonderful time. And that was something for me. There was just that wonderful feel and of the Christmas in the air, and then walking on all of those leaves that are going to fall from the trees. They fall down to the ground. They get really dry, and they get that crunchy sound when you walk on them. So fall is one of my favorite times of the year. And wherever you are, I hope you take the time to enjoy the beauty of fall. In the Pacific Northwest, when you get up into the mountains, for example, the Stevens Pass area, if you're going over to Leavenworth, when you go up there, during the month of October, you will find this wonderful, wonderful quilt-like canopy effect of color that just covers the mountains, and it's absolutely breathtaking. For those of you who are listening on the East Coast, you know what I'm talking about. The Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, Kentucky, Vermont, all of these different places on the East Coast. It's just spectacular. So take time to enjoy it, because before long, the temps are really going to drop very, very low, and then we're going to end up with those cold, cold temperatures of winter. It's the natural scheme of things. And what I wanted to share with you also today, and again, I am expecting a phone call, and I'm going to be getting a contact number for my guest. I believe that he's on the road traveling. We've not been able to reach him, and we're trying to do that. So I may have to excuse myself, which I'm hearing a phone ringing. I'm going to excuse myself for just a moment, and we'll be right back.
Got a monkey in my brain, thrives on confusion. Really knows just how to spoil my day, fill it with illusion.
Hello, this is Donna Siebel. Well, we were able to reach Mr. Ralph Roberts. We're going to be talking today about how to protect yourself from real estate and mortgage fraud. Mr. Roberts, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. Sorry that it took a little bit harder to get me than normal.
We're just glad we got you.
You got me. I'm looking forward to sharing with everybody.
Well, we're looking forward to having you as a guest. May I call you Ralph?
I prefer that.
Thank you. Now, you've been dubbed by Time Magazine as the best-selling realtor in America, which is quite a statement. And you are a speaker. You go all over the country. You talk about detecting, stopping, and reporting fraudulent real estate activity. You have written a number of books. You've also worked with federal law enforcement to educate we, the consumers, as well as state and local law enforcement, regulators, and various financial organizations regarding real estate fraud. Now, I'd like to know how you got involved with this. What made real estate your great adventure, and why did you choose to focus on fraud?
You know, my dad was a builder and did construction, was always dirty. My grandfather, who lived across the street, worked at Chrysler and saved money, bought houses, and ultimately rented them out. So what I did is a combination. My dad built and fixed houses. My grandfather owned them. So I did a combination of the two of them, and I got into real estate, but I decided to be the one that was selling the houses versus the one that was fixing them. And then ultimately, really loved it, loved selling the homeowners the American dream. And at 18, I decided, you know, when I'm first in real estate, the first house I sold was to myself.
Oh.
I didn't get title insurance. I didn't use a lawyer. I didn't use my broker. And the buyer and seller, the seller was a mom and a daughter, but it was not the mom and the daughter that owned the house. So I learned about mortgage fraud like in 1976, where I first had my first experience. I learned how important title insurance was, learned how important attorneys were. So the first house, the mother and daughter that sold it to me was not the right daughter. So later on, the daughter who didn't want to sell it, you know, the mother went to her other daughter and said, I need you to say you're your sister, and we're going to sell this house because I need the money. So it was my first deal that I found a bad deal. So then going through real estate and becoming successful and loving it and more, around 2000, I started seeing really weird things happening. And I started looking at them closer and realized that this mortgage and real estate fraud that was going across the country was the cancer of the American dream. And I needed to at least do something locally. So I started working on it in metropolitan Detroit, and started talking to the authorities, started trying to stop it, you know, and do the right thing, help the media understand it, help different law enforcement to understand it. Had a couple private investigators that worked with us, and we just kept getting the word out. Then later on, through writing and doing seminars and teaching continuing ed across the country in a lot of different states on real estate, but mainly real estate and mortgage fraud, I met Rachel Dowler, who owns the Mortgage Fraud Blog, and she's the expert on the mortgage side of the industry, and I kind of the consumer side, the real estate insider. So the two of us got together and wrote the book, Protect Yourself from Real Estate and Mortgage Fraud.
Now, Rachel Dowler was named by Inman News in 2005 as one of the 100 most influential people in the real estate business. So that was really a powerful partnership that you brought together. And in my own experience, I cannot say I personally have experienced fraud. I have encountered different individuals that tried to promote certain programs, which I wasn't interested in, nor were certain members of my family. But I have been aware of people that have gotten stuck in the middle of the quagmire that can be created by people that are trying to take all kinds of shortcuts. And it gets really hairy. You have some statistics in here that just blew me away. One is, according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I'm quoting directly from your book, real estate fraud is one of the fastest growing white-collar crimes in the United States from 2003 to 2004. Reports of mortgage fraud jumped 146%. From 2004 to 2005, they jumped another 28%. And the first quarter of 2006 reflects a 35% increase in reports over the same period in 2005. This is scary.
It's scarier than those numbers are in the book and with what's happened, because the lending industry is not telling the truth about the mortgage meltdown and all the stuff they're talking about. 80% of the loans that are in this mortgage meltdown have mortgage and real estate fraud in them. So, but they don't want us to know that they misran these companies. They don't want the consumers to know. They don't want the taxpayers to know. But if you commit fraud on a loan going into the system and you get a bunch of money, and pretty soon then that lender that buys it makes the lender broker buy it back, when the lender broker runs out of money, they have to shut down. That's what's shutting. There's three things that are shutting down the mortgage companies currently in the country. Hundreds of them have closed in the last 14 months. It's fraud, it is first payment defaults, and it's short-term payment defaults. Because the lenders let the guard down. They let a computer approve the person. And they took the human touch out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, on a computer, I can be Roberta, but face-to-face, I couldn't be Roberta because I'm Ralph. But a computer can't see that. A computer can't know that you're an invisible person, that you're a made-up person. So there's so much. You know, the technology we have to save us all time and make the world go quicker, the bad guys use the same technology. They got better people doing IT work for them than we have in our own companies.
That is something that is on various levels in life and with real estate, because so often it's promoted as that arena that can give you the security you need, and the big American dream for so many individuals is to be able to own their own home, to be able to be in their own home and to have pride in this. And the stories that you have in your book, Protecting Yourself from Real Estate and Mortgage Fraud, is just absolutely, totally enlightening. Now, real estate, well, it's a multi-trillion dollar a year industry. And I really liked what you said about not getting all excited about these hyped up programs where it's get rich quick, because anybody who is ethical in real estate, it's hard work. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of paperwork, and there's a lot of due diligence that must be done.
Yeah, the guys on the platform, and I'm a speaker myself, but, you know, there's people out there saying you can get rich overnight. I mean, I'm a 30-year failure along with an overnight success. I've made lots of mistakes, so I try to teach people when I'm teaching. I've made mistakes in selling. I've lost appointments. Not buyers and sellers, you know, might not have been able to handle something perfectly. But I try to use that to better educate. And then in the book, when we talk about different stories, we try to give examples of real life stuff of really what's happened, so people can say, well, that's me. And when Ralph and Rachel were debating it, the title of the book, it's got real estate and mortgage fraud both in it.
Mm-hmm.
The government currently is only calling it mortgage fraud, but you're going to see a trend. How can you have a mortgage fraud if you don't have a piece of real estate? So it's really, I believe that I've added the coin real estate fraud, and then Rachel and I would debate that. In fact, when we do events together, we go back and forth trying to kind of argue about what's real estate fraud, what's mortgage fraud.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if we don't stop these things from happening, stop people from making mistakes, our children, our grandchildren are not going to be able to own a house because the system is going to be wrecked. So we have to, all of us have to be better educated, both real estate professionals and the consumer.
Now, you have studies that you have read and evaluated, and many of them estimate that up to 80% of the fraudulent transaction in the housing industry involved the participation of an industry insider. And lots of times, the person that's involved in this, the insider, believes that whatever they're doing is perfectly legitimate. That's even more scary.
Well, it's really interesting because what happens is the person in the next cubicle or the person in the next office, they go and do this transaction that's a little outside of the box, how people, the con men explain it to them. Well, they're starting to make money, so the real estate, another real estate agent sees that and says, holy cow, I need to go learn more about that. So someone in their own company is doing it, so they automatically think it must be okay. You know, and if it's too good to be true, in most cases it is. So what happens is the con men get into an organization, and they expand it from there. So that's what's happening. People are seeing someone else do it, and it becomes like a mushroom kind of expansion, or a copycat. They think success leaves a large footprint. And that's what's happening. People are getting duped, and that's why we need more education. We need some companies and franchises say, I'm going to get my whole company fraud trained. I'm going to have somebody show them. I want examples. If it's a large franchise, there's thousands of real estate insiders being investigated by our U.S. government right now, going to be indicted, going to go to jail. But we need to take some of those examples and then go show them to the real estate insiders, to the consumer, so everyone sees what it is. Because if you got a duck and you put a raincoat on it, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. You put glasses on it, boots on it, it's still a duck. No matter how you disguise it, real estate and mortgage fraud is disguised thousands of different ways, and that's a problem.
You also say the fraud, there's always victims. There's no way for it not to affect somebody. And one of the real bottom lines about this victim positioning is our national economy, which I thought was something that most people wouldn't have even considered. What kind of numbers are we talking about here?
Well, the numbers are staggering, but just to tell you what the areas it affects would be, there was a person, the Bonnie and Clyde of mortgage fraud, a guy named Matt Cox and Rebecca Hawk, literally, if you go out and do the Bonnie and Clyde of real estate and mortgage fraud, you'll see stories about them. As he was stealing millions of dollars using different names around the country, and he was just convicted this year and pleaded guilty and it's going away, but he was telling the people he got involved, it's only costing each taxpayer pennies. That it's not that much. It's just pennies a person. And then the main person he said it was hurting were the insurance companies. But that's not correct. This hurts neighborhoods. Imagine you live on a street and both houses on both sides of you, mortgage fraud's done. Later on there's a foreclosure and you have two vacant houses.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your value. It affects your safety. It affects the tax base. It affects the community. It affects, it affects so many different things. So there's no way to actually figure out how devastating the numbers are. But if we stop, if we eliminate 80% of mortgage fraud, we could probably lower the interest rates another 0.5%. Because all of us, when we borrow money for a home or home equity loan, some of the money that's built in there is for fraud. They might call it losses or loss reserves or money they're building up, but it's because of fraud.
Well, it is so important, I think, to be able to have information like this, especially when you are a person that's wanting to have a security. There's many people when they buy a home, as we said at the beginning of the show, this is the big dream. You have your home, you have it paid for so that if you're an older individual, you don't have to worry about things like that, but you've got a place that's secure for you. You tell a story in your book about a couple that had paid their home off in full. They had lived in this home for 30 years, and it was stolen from them. Tell us how this occurred.
Well, that story is, it's the last name, the family is the Edwards, and that's just all I'll say, just reminds me of the story. But they lived in a house, it's like you said, 30 years. They got behind on their property taxes because of some medical bills. So they went to a mortgage company, and the mortgage company said, well, we don't do small loans like you need $10,000. We don't do loans like that. So this mortgage broker referred them to a supposed friend of him that had this another company, a financial company.
Mm-hmm.
And this financial company had the word Christian financial company in the word. That's, you know, that's a lot of scams, too. They make themselves look like something they're not, or they have really nice websites.
Mm-hmm.
So this person comes over. He meets with him. He stops back by on a Sunday. He's got his family with him. Tells him, he just stopped by church. I need this document signed so I can work on your financing. Well, the document he had him sign was a blank quick claim deed.
Oh, no.
He transferred the property to himself. Then he sold it to somebody that was his straw buyer, and then he didn't make the payment. So he took $130,000 or $140,000, I don't remember the exact number, out of this transaction. And then later on, the Edwards are getting evicted, and they've been making their payments. They thought they borrowed $10,000, and they've been paying back $500 a month to this non-legit company. Well, good. There were some good banks involved, and I consulted on the case, and we were able to get 30-some thousand back to the Edwards so far. We're negotiating with the bank, who was an innocent party. The bank who loaned the money on it,
mm-hmm.
they didn't know that a scam was pulled behind their scenes, so they're innocent. But they're trying to do the right thing and negotiating with us to let the Edwards buy their home back. But that's the kind of things that happen. People trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that the listeners could realize, Google everybody you deal with is what I do. Google the company. Google the person's name. Google their phone number. Google their address. I mean, there's a lot of information out there on the Internet, and you need to do your due diligence and check things out. Don't do a deal on the hood of a car. Don't do a deal, just come over and have someone sign something. You know, look at it. Get copies of things. And get legal advice. You know, you need to protect yourself. So deal with the best realtor, the best loan officer, the best attorney, the best title company. It doesn't cost more to use all the best of all the different industries.
That's very true. And you made a statement about getting copies of documents. That is so important. I have had clients where, just like you said, they were trusting, and they did not get copies of documents. And consequently, they ended up having to go to court to get documents that they should have gotten before they even left the office. They should have had copies of everything. And you're right. Having a real estate attorney is so very, very important because they have to have a lot of knowledge about all the laws, all the variabilities that go on here. And if they are skilled in one area of law and not in real estate, you need to have that attorney that is knowledgeable on that level, especially because it is so complicated. And every state has its own rules and regulations.
I agree with that. If you were going to have, go have major surgery, would you go to someone who was, a general person that did all kinds of stuff, or would you go to a surgeon who specialized in that area? When hiring a lawyer, lawyers are so important to do things right, but to having the expert on real estate, I couldn't agree more with you in that comment.
You bring up also something about drug dealings, money being laundered, and you talk about how neighborhoods can be destroyed by this. And I know I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and I could think of neighborhoods where this has been done, and I don't know that anything has been really encouraged to stop a lot of it. But you say that con artists will purchase cheap, dilapidated properties and then recruit people that want to own homes, and they're called flippers. Now, flipping property really has not been a negative term, but it's becoming a negative term because of all the scams that are going on. Tell us the positives of the flipping and the negatives of the flipping.
It's real. I try to make this as simple as I can, but buying, fixing, and reselling a house for a profit is the American dream. It's the enterprise. It's very legal to do that. You buy it and you create a value because of your sweat equity, and you were able to find a good deal. Plus, you did some of the work yourself. And if you can make a 20% profit, that you're really, really entitled to that, or maybe 30% profit. And that's the way to do it, that's the harder way to do it. It's harder work to do it right than it is to do it wrong. So what the cons do is they buy a property at a discount. They then not only sell it at retail, in most cases they go beyond the retail value as much as double. We've seen a $1 million house go to $3 million and have $2 million in cash split up between the bad guys. And that is true. That's what's wrong. You cannot create a value. And how they create a value is they go into an area and they tie up multiple houses. And they flip those inside themselves without actually having cash change hands. And they get stuff on record. They get deeds out on record. And they created their own value. And then they get the appraisers who they are paying off. And most appraisers are great, but a small percentage of them are really bad, and they're buyable. And that's what's happened. They buy the appraisals. They buy them off. They pay them money to be part of the scheme. So they create their own value. And they use their own fraudulent deals to be the comps for the next transaction. Then you go try to talk to a regular seller, and I've been in this situation. Well, Ralph, the guy down the street just got $1.5 million. Why can't I get more than $795,000?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to convince someone when they see the recorded documents that are showing up that other deal is not real. That's in foreclosure now. It's got to be fixed. It was a fake deal. So people see the fake deals and they almost believe them, and they want theirs to be able to do the same thing.
You have throughout your book some wonderful sections on tips that people need to be aware of. One of them that you said was related to notaries, which it was just astonishing to me, because a notary has always, had to have someone there to witness what was being done. They had a seal, and I can remember going into the bank just this year, earlier in the year, needing something notarized, and I found that they no longer had the seal per se. They just had a stamp, and I said, "What's this? What is this? It's changed." Because usually when you had this particular seal on the document, you couldn't muck around with it. It was pretty impressive. And the person I was talking with said, "Don't ask me. I've been a notary for years, and now I just use this silly stamp, and I just think it's atrocious." And one of the points that you bring out, along with many, many other good points, you say Michigan and some other states have made fraud easier by eliminating the requirement for a witness at the time of signing and notarizing a document. Now, California requires that a notary obtain the thumbprint of the signer of real estate documents, thereby reducing fraud in real estate transactions. Well, my goodness, using a thumbprint on other documents that have to be notarized would be very, very valuable. Why has this changed? Why are we having so many variables from state to state?
I don't know why. All the states should work together. In Michigan, when I started in real estate 30 years ago, you had to have two witnesses and a notary,
mm-hmm.
and they would all use the seal like you're talking about. Now, in the last couple of years, they've changed it to notary only. You don't even need to have witnesses, and they use a rubber stamp, which can be created at any place. You can go in and order something like that. There's no checks and balances on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe we should thumbprint, DNA, take a picture of them. But the problem with all that would for sure stop fraud, because people aren't going to let you take a picture. They're not going to necessarily give you their thumbprint, because it's too much Big Brother kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if the real estate insiders, and real estate professionals don't figure out a way to police and fix our own industry, the government's going to make more laws, and they're going to come in and have more. We don't want that. We have all the tools to stop mortgage and real estate fraud currently. The real estate professionals need to all get together. Forget trying to sell your special software that affects everything. Let's all get together and be willing to share with each other, here's how we do this. Let's present something to the whole country, to every state. And this is one that's probably going to shock you. In some states, you can be in the mortgage business, and you don't have to even have a mortgage license.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
In Michigan, the mortgage company has to be licensed, but the loan officers don't have to be. So you can rob a bank in Ohio, go spend 10 years in jail, get out. You got bad reputation there. You can move to Michigan, and you can go work at a mortgage company.
Oh, my word. And no checking on the background or anything else?
No, I mean, supposedly they're working on it, but the states don't even share all their information with each other.
Wow.
You know, I offer to teach, to give my continuing ed information to every state. You know how hard, it would probably take me a year to be able to do that, because there's no system in place where I could offer my services for free to all of them at one time. They do have an organization, and they all go to their meetings, but they don't share it amongst each other. So that the whole system has got to get more friendly. And then the biggest reasons the bank and lenders won't do what it takes to stop mortgage and real estate fraud is because right now they worry that they would get sued if they shared information amongst each other. So, like, if we knew someone was doing mortgage fraud and they're maybe doing it in another state, you really can't share it directly. And then if that company turns them down because of they heard from some other state that that person's a bad actor, then they possibly could get sued. So what we need to do is have it where they can't get sued for sharing information. The government has to make it so the lenders can share information amongst each other and not worry about lawsuits from bad guys. And right now they could get sued by the bad guys, and that's not a good thing.
Boy, isn't it interesting? We have a legal system that works for the criminals, not against them.
Yeah, well, they found all the pieces, and that's, you know, they have,
right.
I'm sure they have their own lawyers that help them, you know, figure out their systems to get around the system.
Absolutely. Now, because most of my listeners are really skilled with using the Internet, and it's a very significant part of their everyday lives, you talk about how the web is a black market paradise for counterfeit documents. And I think that this is so important to be attentive to. Tell us what we need to be aware of relative to the Internet and counterfeit documents.
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you. Like, one of the important things with the Internet is you want to go to organic searches. If someone's paying to be a spot, you don't want the sponsored stuff and the paid-for stuff is where all the cons go. Like, if you type in real estate fraud and you type that into Google, you're going to see there's a lot of companies that are good companies that buy sponsored ads, too. But if you type in real estate fraud, there's going to show like 30 million pages of information out there. Well, I've been posting for years on a site called FlippingFrenzy.com. So you would see that come up, and it's going to be first or second. I go back and forth with the IRS and the FBI. It depends. I'm posting every single day trying to educate the people in the world about this. But that's how I learned about it. If you go and type in cash back at closing, you'll see all kinds of sponsored ads that come up, or you'll see ads on Craigslist. In a purchase money transaction, there's no legal way to get cash back. It's all a fraud. No matter what they're telling you, cash back at closing is not a legal thing. You can get cash back when you sell your house. You can get cash back when you refinance it. But the consumer heard cash back so much by credit card offers, by car offers, that they've programmed cash back to be okay, so the bad guys build upon that. Another area, you can type in novelty paychecks. You can literally, for $89, maybe $99, get a company to create a paycheck for you, give you an official paycheck where you can use that in the more, you know, buying a house, buying a car, buying a boat. There's other companies out there that you can rent assets. You can rent a $100,000 CD for $1,000. Now, it's not a real $100,000, but the con men just made $1,000 off of you, and they create something that looks like a verification of a CD. You can now put this on your application. Another area, and it's being corrected right now, is the piggyback credit. There's companies out there for $2,000 to $5,000. They'll add good credit to your lower credit score, and your credit score would go up automatically within like 30 days. It really, truly happens. So if all these tools exist out there that the cons associates are doing, and you load all this fraudulent information into a computer, How can the computer detect a fake pay stub, a fake CD, a fake credit score? See, the computer can't detect this, and that's why the bad guys have created it. They've created stuff, use our own systems against us.
Well, I was just appalled, and I'm just going to touch on this case because people are going to need to get your book. They're going to need to get Protect Yourself from Real Estate and Mortgage Fraud. And for those of you that have older members in the family, that maybe they want to keep their home and they decide they want to do reverse mortgages, or there's all kinds of variables that can be considered, please don't do anything until you can utilize the information in this book. Educate yourself. If you have loved ones, if you yourself are involved in working with real estate, you want to find out how to protect yourself so that you're not going to become one of those victims of a situation that is going to be ugly. This is not good stuff. You bring up a story on March 28, 2000, about tornadoes coming down in Fort Worth, Texas, that severely damaged, if not destroyed, about 70 homes. And these homeowners, they've been living in these homes for a number of years. They found that they didn't have the rights or protections to go along with ownership. The property sellers had not maintained insurance for the homes that they lived in, despite the monthly payments the home buyers had made. These poor people, thinking that this group that was in charge of everything was taking care of business, they weren't. These are stories that go on every day in this wonderful country of ours, but there are the cons. So what are your websites that you have, Robert, that people can go to? They can highlight them, save them, so that they can keep up to date with this stuff.
On the real estate and mortgage fraud, you can go to flippingfrenzy.com, and that's where I talk daily about mortgage and real estate fraud. A site about me and what I do is aboutralph.com. It's a site that talks about the things that I do. And my email is simple. It's Ralph Roberts, one word, at ralphroberts.com. If anybody has any questions, we get lots of emails, but we work very hard at getting them all answered. It's so important. You know, we can all look the other way and put blinders on, but if we all get more involved with things we know about, we can make this country and this world a better place to live in.
Yes, and I think because of all the high-powered technology, the speed of communication, people sometimes get so anxious and so eager that they don't realize that they must have due diligence about this, that there are those people that may pretend to offer a wonderful deal, but when you really get down to the bare bones of it, if they're not ethical, they're not going to want to deal with a real estate attorney. They're not going to want to give you all the documents you need. And you make such wonderful points, like when you're going to deal with a builder, if you're building a home, the things you need to do. So you cover, Ralph, so many wonderful, wonderful points that can protect the individual. And you also make them aware of law enforcement agencies, et cetera, that can be worked with if it's necessary. Ralph Roberts has been my guest. His book is Protect Yourself from Real Estate and Mortgage Fraud. It is worth its weight in gold and then some. You don't want to go through these experiences of many people that he talks about here. Ralph, thanks ever so much for being my guest today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, this is my last broadcast in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll be broadcasting from Anchorage, Alaska tomorrow. But if you want to call in and chat with me due to the wonders of technology and the efficient staff at bbsradio.com, I'm going to be able to talk to you regardless of where I'm going to be. So if you'd like to chat today, 877-876-5227 of the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, you can call me at 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Also, our direct line is 530-876-9146. 530-876-9146. Just a reminder, I am on the road traveling. I will be in Southern California next week. Broadcast will be coming from that area. Also, after Southern California, I am going to be in New York City. For those of you who are listening to me that might want to meet with me to have a private appointment, then all you have to do is call my office at 800-872-8852. You'll also have information on my website regarding my appearances, etc., and contact information that way as well. So just know you can do that. My office number is 800-872-8852. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about history. And if you think history is dull and boring, well, it won't be by the time we finish sharing a conversation with Dr. McCowell. We are talking about post-mortem, solving history's great medical mysteries. With technology today, with what we know today, there is a lot of things we are discovering about the past. And many times people say, well, why bother with history? Why in the world do we even want to get into history? If we don't learn from the past, how are we going to be able to know what to do with the present so we can make a better future? We stand on the shoulders of those people that have gone before us, and it's so important to recognize that. So this is really going to be interesting. Carell Quinley, who is a BBS host, she's going to be with me. We're going to be talking about her HeartLink Institute as well as her crop circle cards. Fascinating subject, fascinating information, and I know you will enjoy it as much as I do. Now, by the way, phone lines are open. If you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you've joined our listening family. Remember, you can always hear the archives. If you miss a show, just go right in and go to the archives. Within 24 hours, the shows are up, so you don't have to miss any of these wonderful guests. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227. All I need is your first name or initial to give you some intuitive insight. Canadians, 888-810-8322. Or, for everyone else, 530-876-9146. I've been up here in Alaska. I just came across some absolutely fabulous, fabulous information. I don't know if you know of anyone or if you've had a member of your family affected by atherosclerosis or other things that can affect the heart. Well, I have. In fact, my husband, 22 years ago, went through a major coronary attack, and he was told he had 2 hours to live. It was so severe. Well, at that time, they did an angioplasty. It saved his life, and his heart went back to normal functioning. Well, lots of times, people are having heart attacks, and they are dying from these heart attacks, men and women both. Why? Because we haven't had any kind of a detection system that has enabled physicians to check things out. Now, I have a very dear friend who, in her 80s, went in to see the doctor and said, you know, I'm so sleepy, I'm so tired, I sort of drag. But this doctor was a smart doctor. Instead of saying, well, my dear, you're in your 80s, for heaven's sakes, you're going to be slowing down, he checked her out. One of the first things he did was put his stethoscope up to her neck, up to the sides of her neck, right along the main artery. And he could hear through the stethoscope that there was very poor blood flow. He said, you have a blocked artery. She went in. Sure enough, she had a tremendous amount of plaque. They did the surgery, zipped it out. She's still here with us, and she's in her 90s now, and she's going just a mile a minute. The arterial plaque is something that can be there, and nobody finds it. Nobody knows it. It happened with my husband. There was a one-inch section in one of his primary arteries. Well, now there is, if you've ever watched Star Trek, you know how they have those body scanners that they use. It's all make-believe. Well, it's not make-believe anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We are getting to the point where we are able to use ultrasound scanners, and this is a brand new development. And this was put out by the Associated Press, so I wanted to share it with you. It is really something that is going to make a great deal of difference. Now, there is a pocket-sized unit that weighs less than 2 pounds that just came out, was made available to doctors, and also some consumers have even gotten it. Now, what it does, this device makes an image of neck arteries, which allow the physician or an individual to see if the neck vessels are clogged. And there is just an absolutely amazing factor. These machines apparently are not real expensive. Now, let me tell you what happened with one woman. Her name is Lisa Rosenstock, and she lives in Wisconsin. 41 years of age, very trim, athletic. Now, in her family, there is a history of heart attacks. And what happened? They used this machine on her, and they found a big clog in the main artery from her heart to her head. So her doctor said, this is great news. When we know that something is going on, let's take a preventative positioning with it. And her physician, Dr. James Stein, he's at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, he said it's a great way to have non-invasive methods to identify people who don't have signs but have risk of heart diseases. Now, someone has to become educated with this machine. They have to understand what is going on and how to read the information, and that is extremely important. But the American Heart Association says testing with traditional ultrasound machines can help certain patients, but it doesn't know how well this is going to work. Something new coming out, there's always a question. How effective is it? So there's a lot going on here. You need to be aware of it. And again, this is something that is coming out of, there's portable ultrasound devices that are coming out of a company, Sonosite Inc. of Bothell, Washington. That's S-O-N-O-S-I-T-E Inc. of Bothell, Washington. That's one company. But you just might want to really, really check on this. If you have a concern, if you want to investigate this more, do it. It's ultrasound equipment that really can do a scan. And a lot of doctors are going to be able to utilize this and say it is such a convenient, inexpensive way of being able to work with their patients from a positive level and from a preventative positioning. And I think that's great. So if you've been one of these sci-fi fans, if you've been a Star Trek fan, which I have been for years, and you looked at those things, and my goodness, Gene Roddenberry was such a visionary with so much of what he related in his stories. And yes, it was full of imagination, but as happens so frequently, reality is catching up with what was imagination in someone else's mind. But that's where it all starts, doesn't it? Is with the mind. Anything that man can see, can envision, he can achieve. Good, bad, or indifferent. It is possible. So when you have all of kinds of people around the world that say, I want to make this a better place, and they say, I can do something, we can have it portable, we can do this, we can do that, we can do the other. To me, that is exciting. So that's what I love about doing this show, is that I can share with you different points of information as I come across it. You yourself can go and explore and can investigate. And who knows, you may be able to benefit the life of someone, maybe save them in some way because it's educating them. And always remember, you need to educate yourself as much as possible. Be open to new ideas and concepts. I'm not saying everybody's going to have the perfect answer. But if you don't know about different paradigms, if you're not aware, how are you going to have any options to work with? So it's a wonderful part of our life. It can be very frustrating because we have so much stuff that we are bombarded with. But remember, it's up to us as individuals to ask questions, to be willing to explore, and to be willing to reach out to find out what is there. And don't be afraid to ask a friend to help you to do it. It's a good thing when you do. It can make a tremendous difference. Well, this is Donna Sebo, and I know we're almost out of time. Tomorrow, this broadcast will be coming to you from the city of Anchorage, Alaska. I'm looking forward to being there. I don't think they're going to have any snow on the ground like up here in Fairbanks. Fairbanks typically is a few weeks ahead of Anchorage in the snow scene. And I'll tell you what, it sure has gotten me in the mood for the Halloween period that's coming up towards the end of this month. But regardless, the show is going to be live from Anchorage, and I'll fill you in on all kinds of good things then. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget, your mind belongs to you. Your essence as a person is yours. Take dominion. Don't be afraid to reach out, to learn, to grow, to be the best you can be. Hey, we need you. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.